A long time ago was a Yid, Rabbi Yankel, and his wife Sarah. Very nice Yid. Put it over on my desk, please. Now, Rabbi Yankel and Sarah Kindelach were very, very happy and very, very sad. They were happy because they were Yidin. They had Torah and mitzvahs. And Baruch Hashem, they had a nice home. And Baruch Hashem, they had money. They had parnasa. It wasn't that they were poor, chas v'shalom. But you know, sometimes, kinalach, Hashem gives different kinds of nisyonis, tests. Some people have no money. But other things they do have. Some people have money, but other things they don't have. Yankel and Sarah did not have any children. They didn't have Kinelach. This is a very big nisayin. It makes them very sad. They would love to have Kinelach. Every chassan and kala, when they get married, they want to have a family. They want to have Kinelach. And when the other chassans and kalas start having Kinelach and they don't, they feel very bad. And Yankel and Sarah loved children. They always daven to Hashem. They should have their own kinderlach. Especially that they should be able to send a boy to yeshiva to learn Torah. And he should come home and tell mommy and tati what he learned. What a nachas it is for the little child to come home and the mommy says and the tati says, what did you learn today? And they say over a pasuk, or they say over a story, or something that they learned. It's such a big simcha in the house when they do that. And Yankel and Sarah didn't have this simcha. And one day Yankel said like this, I'm going to go to the yeshiva and I am going to give special things to the boys in yeshiva. At least I should feel that I should have kinelach in the yeshiva. The yeshiva boys will be my kinelach. And he would go every day to the yeshiva at the time that the boys are going home or out to recess. And he would look at the kinelach and he would kind of pretend that these are his boys. One day he brought a bag of lollies and he gave each boy a lolly. Another day he brought a big other bag of nash and he would give the boys who were playing nice nash. And he would ask the Rebbe sometimes, who needs a pair of shoes? Or who needs some clothing for Pesach? And he would buy them secretly things they needed. And he would give it to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would give it to the boy. Or he would give them other things they needed, sometimes even money, if he saw they needed something. And he would help the boys as much as he could. All of these mitzvahs, kinelach, made a very big light in the Himmel. And the Malachim saw this light and they came to see what is all this light in the Himmel? Which mitzvahs are being done? And they saw that a Yid named Reb Yankel is giving so many nice things to the yeshiva boys and his wife would bake cakes and cookies and make different things for the boys. And this also made a lot of light in the Himmel. And the Malachim brought the light to Hashem. And they said, Hashem, shouldn't something nice be done for Yankel and his wife because they do all these mitzvahs? Because when we do mitzvahs, kinelach, Hashem gives us brachas. And they made a big meeting in the Himmel and they decided that Yankel and his wife are going to get a bracha mida keneged mida. Because they did mitzvahs with kids, they are going to get their own child, their own little baby. And sure enough, Malach Machoyel brought down the bracha. And very soon after, Sarah saw that she was pregnant. She was expecting a baby. Oh, she was so happy. We're going to have our own baby. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl, as long as it's a baby. And after 9 months, she got her baby. She gave birth to a little baby boy. Oh, they were so happy. And they made a shalom zachar, and they made a bris. And they gave the little baby a name. They named him Shmuley. Oh, our little Shmuley, we love him so much. And they bought Shmuley nice stretchies and nice toys. And they took good care of him. And they would say Teirut Siva and Shema and wash with the Nagel Vassar. And he gave a cushy to the mezuzah. And of course, he got bigger and he grew up. And he was able to walk. And he had his Arayin Firnish. He had his Upsharnish first and his Arayin Firnish. And then it came time that he should go to yeshiva when he was old enough. And his tati, Yankel, was so full of simcha that his boy was going to yeshiva that instead of him walking with the other boys to yeshiva, because in those days they didn't have a bus or cars, they used to have a special bachur who used to go and pick up the boys in their house and walk with them. The Baal Shem Tov used to do this when he was doing that also. And Reb Yankel would walk with his own little child, and many times he would carry him on his shoulders. He would walk all the way to yeshiva to carry him on his shoulders and take him to yeshiva. And he would pick him up from the yeshiva, and he'd walk all the way home with him, carrying him on his shoulders, like Tati sometimes dances with a little kid by Simchas Torah on his shoulders. And sometimes little Shmuley would wear Tati's hat all the way home. And there was another reason. They were afraid that nothing should happen to him. There shouldn't be an Ayin Hara. Nothing should happen to him when he's walking to yeshiva and back. Who knows? Sometimes, you know, he could fall down, or something else could happen. They wanted somebody to watch him, and they wanted to watch him themselves. And as little Shmuley got bigger, and he got heavier, and as his Tati got older, Shmuley would say to his Tati, "Tati, you don't have to carry me on your shoulders. I can go by myself, or I can walk with the other boys." But Tati kept on carrying him on the shoulders, even when he got to be bigger and bigger and bigger. But Tati was getting old. It was hard for Tati to carry a big boy on his shoulders. And Shmuley was already 6 years old, and he said one day, "Tati, today I'm going to walk by myself to yeshiva. It's not so far away. Please, Ta, I'll be careful." And Tati and Mommy said, "Okay, but be careful. And remember, don't talk to any strangers." And they gave him his lunch and his snack. And he took his sfarim and he started to walk to yeshiva. Usually, he would meet a few friends and they would walk together. But this day, the friends had already left. And one of them was sick, so he stayed home. So Shmuley had to walk by himself all the way to yeshiva. And as he was going down the road, he saw a soldier on a horse. One of the king's soldiers was riding down the road. And as the soldier came near little Shmuley, the soldier stopped his horse, and he looked down at the little boy, and the little boy got scared, because this soldier was looking right at him. "I wonder what he wants. Why is he looking at me?" And the soldier said, "Come here, little boy. I want to talk to you. Here's a candy for you." "Oh, no. I don't want your candy. I'm a Jewish boy. I don't eat those kind of candies. I have to go to yeshiva now." And he started to walk fast. And he heard the horse was going behind him. And he got scared. And all of a sudden, he felt a hand was grabbing him and pulling him up to the horse. "No, let me down. I'm going to yeshiva. Let me down." And the soldier grabbed him and he put him on his horse and he says, "You're coming with me." And The soldiers started to ride very fast. And Shmuley tried to get off the horse and tried to get away, but the soldier was very strong. And even Shmuley was crying and screaming. The soldier wouldn't let go. And they were riding and riding. And they were going all the way to the king's palace. And they rode inside of the gates of the king's palace, past all of the guards. And the soldier took Shmuley into the palace of the king, into his room. And he said, "Little boy, from now on, you're going to live in the king's palace with me. Isn't that wonderful?" "No," Shmuley says, "I want to live in my house with my mommy and tati, and I want to go to yeshiva with my friends and my rebbe. I don't want to live here in the palace." And the soldier says, "I'll give you all the fun toys you want and all the delicious food from the king's kitchen if you live here." And Shmuley says, "I don't want to live here. I want to live back at my house and go to yeshiva." And the soldier says, "Look, I don't have any children, and I want to have a little boy like you. So you live here, and it's going to be more fun than living in your house. So you stay here, and even if you don't like it now, try it for a while. I'm sure you'll like it, and you'll be my little boy." And he put Shmuley inside of a room, and he locked the door. And Shmuley was very, very upset. Now the soldier didn't do, God forbid, anything bad. He only wanted Shmuley to stay there. And he would bring him toys and bring him food. And Shmuley didn't want to play with the toys and he didn't want to eat the food because it wasn't kosher. But after a while, when he got so hungry, he had to eat an apple or a banana or something. That's all he ate. All he wanted to do was go home. And during this time, of course, Shmuley's parents saw that day he didn't come home from yeshiva. They were so worried because this was the first day that he went by himself to the yeshiva. "Where's our boy? He should have been home by now." And they went to a few of the houses in the neighborhood and they said, "Did your boys come home from school yet?" "Well, the boys are a little bit late today." Finally, they started coming home. "Oh, where's our Shmuley? Isn't he with you, boys?" "Shmuley, he didn't come to school today." "What do you mean? Isn't he home?" "What? He didn't go to yeshiva today? What are you talking about? He left this morning to go to yeshiva. He was walking by himself." "No, he didn't come. He was absent." Oh, the parents got scared. And they went all the way to the yeshiva. And they went to the Rebbe. They said, "Rebbe, our son didn't come today?" "No, I didn't see him the whole day. I thought maybe he's sick. I was going to maybe drop by and see if he's all right. We missed him today in yeshiva." "Oh, where could he be?" And they went back and they checked by all the houses of people they knew. And Shmuley wasn't there. And they got so worried. And the parents looked and looked all over the place, up and down and all around, and in the streets and in the stores and in the parks and at the friends' houses. Don't put that penny in your mouth, it's not good. And they could not find their little Shmuley. He was missing. He was gone. "Oy vey. Oy vey, Hashem, please help. We should find our little Shmuley. We miss him so much. Our little boy Shakul." And Kinalach, back in the palace, little Shmuley missed his parents so much. And he wanted just to go home. But he was locked up in the soldier's room, and the soldier was not letting him out. The soldier wanted to keep him, like his own little boy. Shmuley says, "I can't be your little boy if I have my own parents. You can't keep me here. My parents will miss me too much. Let me go." And the soldier did not let him go. Some time went by, And one day the soldier went into the palace to go to work. And there was a big crowd in the palace of doctors and officers and soldiers. Something was wrong. Everybody was talking very excitedly and very nervously, and people were upset. And the queen was crying. She had a big box of tissues, and she was blowing her nose and crying and wiping her eyes. "What's wrong over here?" the soldier said. "The king is very sick. He's in bed, and the doctors are trying to figure out what's wrong with him. Different doctors have come from all over the kingdom, and some have tried pills. They didn't work. Some have tried shots. They didn't work with needles. Some of them are trying creams. They're smearing the king with all kinds of yucky creams. And the king is getting sicker and sicker. And the doctors are making now a meeting to try to figure out what's wrong with the king. We're all so worried." And the soldier went over to look at the king, and the king was lying in bed. He looked so sick, and he was groaning and moaning and crying. All of a sudden, one of the officers said, "In the library, I once saw a very old book of medicines, of cures, of treatments. It was way high up on a shelf. It looked like a very special old book. Maybe there's something in there that the doctors don't even know. Let's get that book down from the king's library." And they went to tell the doctors about this old, old book of cures and remedies and medicines. And the doctor said, "I've heard of such a thing before. And sometimes even a doctor finds something in books like that that the doctors didn't know, and it helps. Bring that book." And the doctors got very excited. "Yes, bring that book from the library." And they climbed way up to the top shelves of the library of the king on an old ladder that was going way, way up. And the officer said, "I think that's the book over there. It's very dusty and it's very old. That looks like the book." And he reached for the book. By mistake, of course we know there's no such thing as a mistake in the world. Everything is Hashgacha Pratis, everything is from Hashem. The hand of the officer did not grab the book of remedies, but it grabbed a Chumash Bereshis. Now, Kinalach, even in the king's library were Sfarim from Yidden. Somehow, even Sfarim from Yidden got way up on the top shelf of the king's library. Maybe they carried it out once from a shul and they brought it there to have such a thing, and even they didn't know what it was. But the fact is that the officer reached for the wrong sefer instead of the book of cures and medicines and pills and shots and remedies and treatments and stuff. He took a Chumash Bereshis down from the shelf, and it was all dusty and old, and he brought it down and he says, "Here is the book of medicines, the old book of medicines." And the doctors gathered around and they opened it up. "Hey, we can't read this book of medicines. It's got a language that we don't even know how to read it. Let me see." One of the doctors took it, he turned it upside down. And then the doctor said, "No, you read it this way." He put it, the letters up and down like Chinese. "This is how you read it." "No," somebody said, "you read it like this." And he turned it upside down again, backwards and forward to look at it. All of a sudden, one of the officers said, "The letters in that book look like the same letters that you see in the Jewish neighborhood. You see those interesting letters there? That's the kind that the Jews have on their stores, under bakeries, under butcher stores where they buy the kosher meat, and also in their shuls where they go on Friday night, and on Saturday they go over there and they have their services, and the men go with their tablecloth with strings coming out of it. You know what I'm talking about? They have those books in there and they read that kind of language. Those kind of letters are in their books. I've seen it in the Jewish neighborhood. And one of the doctors says, well, so we need a Jew to read this, to tell us what kind of medicine is in this book. And another officer says, there's no Jews in this palace. Don't you know? In the king's palace, a Jew? Forget it. Well, the doctor says, if we don't find a Jew fast, we might not have a king left because the king is dying. Well, where are we going to find a Jew? All of a sudden, this soldier that took the boy in his room and locked him up remembered that he's got a Jewish boy in his room. And he says, I've got a Jew in my room. What? You've got a Jew in your room? Yeah, I got a little boy. And I put him on my horse and I brought him over here. I wanted to keep him, you know. I want a little boy. I like little boys. So I brought this little boy to my pad, to the palace, to the room, and I wanted to keep him here. I gave him toys and everything. He keeps saying the whole time he wants to leave. But I bet you he knows how to read these kind of words over here. Well, bring him over here. And the soldier ran to his room and he brought the little boy. And they opened the book. Little boy, can you read these words? The little boy looked into the Chumash. Hey, this is the Chumash we have in Yeshiva in my Rebbe's class that we learn every day with my Rebbe. After davening, we learn Chumash. And after recess, we learn Chumash. And at home, I do with Tati Chumash, and sometimes with Mommy if she has enough patience for me at night. And sometimes with my uncle. Oh, this boy knows how to read it. You read us the words, and we'll try to figure out what it means, and let's see if we can help the king. And the boy starts reading the words. He opens up to the first page. Look, it says over here, Bereishis bara elikim eis ha-shamayim ve-eis ha-aretz. And the doctors start scratching their heads. Oh, we got to figure out what kind of medicine this is. Let's see, what is that? And all of a sudden, the king opened up his eyes a little bit and started to look around. The doctor said, look, the king is opening up his eyes. This is a miracle. The king's eyes were closed for hours. He was so sick. The king is opening up his eyes. Go on reading. Maybe the words themselves are helping the king. It seems that when he heard the words, it helped him. And the little boy goes on, V'ha'aretz ha'isasayhu v'avayhu. And all of a sudden, the king's face started showing a better color, because the color was very pale. His face was very white. And now his face was turning now a reddish color, a more healthy color. And the doctors said, look, the king looks better. It looks like his life is coming back to his face. Look at that. Read on. And the king started to sit up in bed. Look, the king is sitting up in bed. He hasn't sat up for such a long time. The king is getting better from the words of this special book. Go on reading, little boy. And the boy goes on reading. And the king jumped out of bed. And he started to dance on the bed. He says, I feel better. I feel better, says the king. I feel better. Oh, doctors, you've saved my life. The medicine you just gave me has saved my life. I feel my life has come back. I was almost ready to die, and now I feel like I can dance and jump and sing. Whichever doctor gave me that medicine that saved my life, I'll give him the greatest reward. I'll give him his very wish, whatever he wants. And each doctor look around. Well, who saved his life? Who is the doctor? And the king saw that the little boy is the one that's reading. Oh, this is the youngest doctor I've ever seen. Come here, doctor. Tell me your name. What's your name, doctor? Well, my name is Shmuley, but I'm not a doctor. The king says, but you saved my life. I owe you my life. Tell me your wish. Do you want all the toys in the kingdom? No. Do you want a big bag of gold? No. Would you like half of my palace? No. Half of my treasures? No. Well, what is it that you want? Well, if I have my wish, King, it's that I should go home to my mommy and my tati and my family, and also go back to yeshiva to my Rebbe and my friends and my class. That's what I want. I want to go home. The king says, you mean that's your wish? That you want to go home? Well, that's better than all the toys, and better than all the gold, and it's better than all the treasures, and better than your whole palace. Just to be home with my family and to go to yeshiva every day and learn Chumash and learn Torah and daven and do mitzvahs. That's all I want to do, is go home to be with my family and my friends and my Rebbe. And the king said, okay, of course, we'll give you your wish. And the king clapped his hands and he said, bring the royal wagon. The little boy is going to go home in the royal wagon with my own wagon and my own horses. And the king's officers themselves will take this little boy back to his family. And so they put the little boy on the king's wagon. They put him in the seat that the king himself sits on. And all of the officers... Mazel tov. And all of the officers... All of the officers made a big line, and they went with their uniforms, and they went with their chariots, their little wagons, and they put on their fanciest, schmanciest hats and all their fancy uniforms, and they made a big parade down the street, and all the people came out of their houses. Look, it's a parade. The king must be coming. And even the doctors went in a wagon behind the king's wagon, and all of a sudden they saw a little Yiddish boy sitting on the king's wagon, and he was waving to everybody. Hello. Hi. And they took the little boy home all of a sudden in front of his house, or all these officers and all these people in the royal wagon, and Mommy and Tati run out, and they see their little Shmuley coming down from the wagon and running home. Mommy, Tati, I'm home. I'll tell you all about what happened. And Shmuley came home. And from then on, he was so happy to be home with his parents. And his parents were so happy to have him.